and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today was truly an episode.
It was.
In addition to some scheduling.
It was a challenge.
Some scheduling challenges. We had a flood right before we left.
Had a renegade coffee pot.
Yeah, found out
spit
the coffee
all
pot.
Over the floor.
He kept refilling it. Yeah, because it was actually putting the water behind the cabinet. So that was really handy. I really enjoyed that. So today we won't be on Skype. Yay. That worked out. Okay.
So who are you?
So you can find everything about our show at wethepeopleradio.us. So I thought I'd get that out there first before something else happened. And my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. I'm glad to be here.
You're lucky to be here.
I'm lucky to be here. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located up at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Go by and see them for John Deere tractors, implements, mowers. They've got a full line of steel products in stock and ready to go. So if you need to do a little yard trimming or edging or chainsawing, you name it, they got it in stock up there. Go by and see them or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There you go.
Okay. Now, without any more messing around, just in case something else goes haywire, we have not had Mark Marano on for like 2 years, and Bill's never talked to him. Because last time he was on with our friend Debbie Bacchicalupi back in 2019.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we taped it while you were at work. So, let's see. I'll give you a little tiny background, and I'm sure you'll catch the gist of it, because I know you have seen Mark on the news a bunch of times. He's the founding editor of the award-winning website ClimateDepot.com, a project of the Committee for a Conservative Tomorrow, CFACT, and the co-author and star of the film Climate Hustle. Best name ever. Climate Hustle. He served as the communications director for Senator James Inhofe and the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Marano has appeared on Fox, CNN, CBS, BBC, ABC, all sorts of stuff. Oh, even PBS to debate climate change. I bet that was super, super, super fun. He has a new book out, Green Fraud. It's got Ocasio-Cortez's face plastered all over it with like kind of a greenish hue to it. I don't know if that was accidental. Guessing not. Why the Green New Deal is even worse than you think. And we wanted to have him on Earth Day week. I think, what day is Earth Day this week? It's Mark? 21st? So it's Wednesday. Wednesday is Earth Day.
So, yes, Earth Day. Also the birthday of Vladimir Lenin. Why not?
Yeah, make sure you litter on Earth Day. I've been doing it for 35 years. It's really cathartic.
Don't tell people that.
Kleenex always flies out of my car on Earth Day, just right out the window. Poof, it's like magic. I taught my children how to throw away all the recycles on Earth Day the first time I heard about Earth Day. So I've been a hater for a long time.
Man, I thought I broke you of all
Nope. You got in too late.
Yep.
Too late in the game.
Yep.
So, Mark, where would you like to start today? And is her face green on purpose?
Yeah. You know, I think it was simply a publishing error. That's all that happened with the green tint. I believe it was. You know, I believe it's as her actual skin color is. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, because
she's green tinted.
Oh, yeah, because the color, the green fraud, it's like this algae color. I do hope you go online. The link takes you right to the book, so you can get it. And his other book is awesome, actually, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. It is a polar bear surfing. And that's a really good one too. And that was I don't know, we had that show with him back in 2019. But when did that book come out, Mark?
Well, it came out in 2018, but then they updated it in 2019 with a new edition.
Oh, so okay, that must have been what we were talking about.
2 years old.
Perfect.
Yeah, but thank you for having me on today. Yeah, the green fraud. The subtitle is why it's even worse than you think, and the reason it's why it's worse than you think now. There's two reasons, actually. One of them is the COVID-climate connection, and climate has literally borrowing pages now from the COVID lockdowns. And the second reason it's worse than we think is because it was such a disastrous release with AOC in 2019 that the Democrats are so embarrassed by the name Green New Deal that they're doing it all stealth right now through the Biden administration. Every agency is a climate agency. Every executive order is a Green New Deal. Is a Green New Deal sort of hidden thing, and also the infrastructure bill is essentially a Green New Deal spending bill with mandates in it like a Green New Deal. So what's happened is they've gone underground. They're using deceit, trickery, stealth, hiding their true intentions. And they have the excitement of building upon the momentum of the lockdowns, which shut down our economy. And all the climate activists basically say, if we can shut down the economy and our society for a virus, we can do the same for climate. John Kerry says that the parallels are screaming at us. So that's why it's worse than we think.
Because it's all infrastructure.
These guys are exhausting. Part of my lack of coordination this week was dealing with the Klamath project up there. And, I mean, if this isn't, this is good for your hustle movie if you make Climate Hustle number, I think three. You have two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do three, maybe you could explain to people how last year they had 460,000 acre-feet stored water that belonged to the farmers that they owned. But the Bureau of Reclamation would only give them 140 because it was a drought. And this year, they have 333,000 acre-feet stored, and they're going to get 2,000 acre-feet.
Yeah.
Because it's a drought.
Well, actually, the Klamath River, that's actually a very good analogy for what I talk about in the book, because essentially, the Green New Deal is essentially a takeover of more and more aspects of your life, in fact, almost every key aspect, by government bureaucrats and government bureaucracies. And what you're describing there with how they meter out the water and they make these decisions without any rational basis, that's how it's going to be with more and more aspects of your life. And I go through everything from your home appliances to your thermostat control to whether you'll be able to own a car. There's proposals now, Green New Deal-style proposals that will abolish private car ownership, get rid of the internal combustion engine, and instead everyone will be forced to rely on a roving fleet of electric rental cars.
And then, of course, flying.
There was flight shaming before. You're not going to be able to fly unless it's morally justifiable in a climate emergency.
Well, I saw.
And we've already had Chuck Schumer saying, let's declare a national climate emergency to give Biden those kind of powers that they have with COVID emergency.
Yeah, I saw Katie Hopkins yesterday, and she was telling everybody, for one thing, she was able to get out of the UK only because Congressman LaMalfa wrote a letter to Parliament, and then a member of Parliament concurred, so she was able to leave England, because apparently in England you can't go more than 7 miles from your house, and yes, the police are pulling people over and issuing $300 tickets if you have exceeded your radius, as it were. She said, the cars, during the lockdown, I guess they plowed up a bunch of the roads, turned them into bike paths, and they're slated to be out of cars in 2 years.
Yeah, they're doing it this many different ways. A, they're doing it through vehicle efficiency, corporate average fuel economy standards. They're also doing it through just phasing out the internal combustion engine. They're also doing it through electric car mandates. And they're coming after individual car ownership. This is part of the whole mantra. I mean, they want us. I mean, Andrew Yang is now likely to win New York City mayor as a Democrat presidential candidate.
No.
He actually proposed this idea of abolishing car ownership. We have Elizabeth Warren has proposed abolishing, not allowing new homes to be built unless they're, quote, zero carbon footprint is the exact quote. So imagine the amount of bureaucracy you already have to deal with to do construction. Imagine adding that now, adding that climate emissions into that. We have it affecting banks. You know, now you're not going to be, if you're a lending institution, if you want to borrow money for energy projects or for any kind of energy extraction, anything to do with fossil fuels, you're going to have a lower social credit score. We're modeling ourselves after the Chinese. And I go through in the book and explain the COVID lockdowns were, and Jane Fonda's words, who I quote and interviewed, God's gift to the left, the lockdowns, because we now have government and people accepting this, by and large, across our society, telling you when you can leave your house, your stay-at-home orders, you're under curfew, how many people you can have at a backyard barbecue, you could lose your utility, your water will be shut off, your electricity if you violate it, you can't fly in an airplane now without vaccine passports they're proposing, you can't travel, you can't go to a concert without. Every aspect of your life is going to be determined. You're going to be sniffed out by a government bureaucrat to see if you're worthy and it's essential or morally justifiable in the case of flying. This is what we're dealing with, and that's why the Green New Deal is worse than you think, because the merging of COVID and climate is a marriage made in authoritarianism, in tyranny, and that's what the book is really about. when you you know, get past the green tinted cover of AOC.
Well, the good news is if you are going to build a new home, you will have a choice as to whether or not you'll have a double or single thatched roof and either dirt or clay floor. So, I mean, you'll have some options to go with.
Yeah, you can burn a dung inside.
That's right.
And plaster your walls with that. Or
that's right. That's absolutely right. Oh boy.
Well, yeah. If you want a sneak preview of how we'll be living, you could just go up to just miles and miles and miles of illegal marijuana grows up in Siskiyou County, and you can look at their little shacks. They've got the 5-gallon bucket in there for the toilet.
Oh, that's awesome. There's no carbon footprint there.
Nope. They got the puppy tied up out front that's chewing on a container of chemicals. It's really, it's literally third world. And I know that's what they would love.
Well, that's what they're looking at. I mean, here's the thing, and I make this argument in the book. If we actually faced a climate emergency, if we actually had 10 years left to solve it.
Right. Every 10 years.
Last thing. I go into that, by the way. 1864 was the first climate tipping point that I could find. A 19th century academic in 1864 warned of climatic excess unless we changed our ways. So this has been out there for years.
Well, we only have 10 years left. I mean, according to the AOC.
That's right. I go through and show you in the UN in the 1990s, 10-year tipping points. I go through Prince Charles, who had 100-month tipping point and then counted it down. And then at the end of the countdown, he gave us like another 40 years on top of that. You know, they're just like some kind of doomsday preacher who, once it expires, they just put a new deadline and keep preaching the same thing. I mean, there's no end to this. But I go through and explain, if we actually face this climate emergency, the last thing we would want to do is a centralized planning, sovereignty-limiting Green New Deal with bureaucrats take over every aspect of society and monitor, meter, just like a lockdown. It would be the opposite. And I point out in the book that the opposite was happening under the Trump administration. We were energy not only independent for the first time, but energy dominant for the first time since Harry Truman was president. And we broke all sorts of records for oil, gas production, for domestic production, for having more domestic exports and imports. None of this had happened since the 1950s during Harry Truman and the Eisenhower's administration. We were facing no more wars in the Middle East over oil, no more relying on countries that had no environmental standards for our energy. And Biden now is literally every day we speak throwing all that out. Is going to make us more dependent, not just on Middle Eastern oil, but on Chinese rare earth mining, which we can't mine here in America. And we're going to be relying on Chinese companies in Africa mining cobalt so we can have, and other rare earth metals, so we can have our electric cars, our solar panels, and our windmills. This is what we're facing. We've tossed it all out, and we're going to be now energy dependent, not just again, but much worse than we ever were.
And the mining is in a lot of those places is being basically done by slaves, and most of those are, well, many of those, how about that, are children. So
yes, I have a whole thing in there about the cobalt in Africa. These are Chinese companies. First of all, whenever you do a carbon tax, a Green New Deal, any kind of repression of your own industry, like in a country like America or Canada or Europe, all you're doing is increasing CO2 emissions, which you're stating that you don't want to do. Because all it means is you're outsourcing your energy to places without the same environmental standards. And as you mentioned, Aaron, in Africa, Amnesty International details all the child labor violations, all the environmental violations happening in Africa. I mean, they are exploiting Africa and Africans for profit. And this is where China is laughing all the way when it comes to the whole climate agenda. China's all in as they build on average one new coal plant a week. They get praised by the climate activists. And John Kerry is falling all over himself to go cut a deal with China here in the next few months.
Yeah, who would have thought we'd have Lurch back in the driver's seat? So great seeing him fade away. We have to take a really quick break. We're going to be back with our guest, Mark Morano, who has graciously come on with us on a Sunday afternoon. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and
I know you were listening to those promotions, Mark, and you were thinking, how do I get on that progressive radio show? Because they would love me. Because that's what I was thinking.
I'm thinking he's not going to get that call, but hey, you know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, honestly, I am kind of curious. When you go on like MSNBC and stuff like that, how does that go?
I've been on actually many times on ABC, MSNBC, CNN, BBC. But what's happened in the last 4 years, or actually since Trump's election, all of it stopped because the media said we can no longer tolerate these positions. We can't give them any oxygen. But no, I actually got to go on and debate Bill Nye in prime time years ago. And it went very well. And most of the observers thought Bill Nye lost that debate handily because he was not prepared to actually what climate activists like Bill Nye and others debate. Isn't actually, they don't debate science, they debate the science. And the science is defined as having a solution that's more important than the science underneath it, so it's about creating a narrative. So what most activists, when they come up, have only talking points. Well, 97% of scientists, and I go through and explain how that's literally pulled from thin air, and it's based on no data whatsoever in the study that it claimed, and other studies have anonymous sources. Anyway, it's an incredible. So I love debating, and it's a rare and a treat that I can actually get a chance to do it today. But most of those networks, you know, I remember MSNBC was very angry with me after one of my appearances, and then it got to the point, and this has actually happened to me, where I was scheduled for many debates on these networks, whether it was Al Jazeera, China TV, CNN, and right up to the point where I'd show up at the studio, the other person I was debating from the Sierra Club or other group would back out at the last minute. I went through that for years and then finally stopped getting any invites at all on those networks.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you're trouble.
Because they're totally there to educate. They want to educate, so let's get all the information out there. Hey, what is the scoop on that 97% of the scientists? Because they throw that out there all the time.
Yeah, and that point is designed so you don't have to think about it. You know, in other words, you just say that number, and therefore you don't need to know an ounce of anything about climate. All you have to do is say that. And I actually feature in my book, I interviewed the lead United Nations author, Dr. Richard Toll, who did a study examining it. And he says that it was pulled from thin air. None of the data in the study support the idea of 97%. And then I looked at some of the other claims in 97. By the way, Al Gore just changed it verbally with no citation to 99% of all scientists.
Oh, it's going up.
Of course. To make it more realistic.
But what they did is they got a survey of 10,000 plus scientists, whittled it down to 77 scientists. And this was just an old survey that they had. And they didn't release the names of the scientists, their affiliation, any exact quotes. All they did was ask them two questions. Is the Earth warm? Do humans contribute? And most skeptical scientists would agree with that. That's the other basis for this alleged 97%. But its real point is to try to silence people from debating or arguing. And I go through all of that in the book. I go through all the wackiness. I go through the kids' propaganda. We have Greta Thunberg and kids indoctrinated from kindergarten through college on this, you know, climate doom, and they're now suing the federal government and the United States in federal district court, saying that the government needs to act to protect the climate, their future. They need to protect them from the changing climate. This is what the state of our kids' education. I go through the whole movement, who's funding them, how Greta Thunberg phenomena happened, and then I also go in a whole chapter on identity politics invading the climate debate. Did you know that the Aborigines in the 19th century were the original woke set? They blamed the change of the climate in Australia, indigenous people in Australia, they blamed the change of weather on the introduction of the white man in Australia. And I actually have that cited from, I think it's 1846. So all these woke people in academia today, they're now blaming white Americans and white supremacy for climate change, and I go into that. But this is an old story, centuries old it's been going on. And I feature NASA scientists in this book who are supposed to be looking at climate data, instead are talking about how white supremacy is causing climate change. These are leading divisions of NASA climate sciences. It's all been corrupted.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It always comes back to that, too. I mean, when they run out of talking points, it goes back to white supremacy.
Anymore. That's the answer to everything.
Yeah.
I had a really good meme about that. I'm going to look that up while we're talking. Because it was a keeper.
Even worse, They're now saying math is racist. We have professors saying that data is racist. You can't rely on data because it was collected either by white men or using white systems. I mean, it's you can't even argue science anymore.
And that's right. I forgot about that. That's right. Math is...
Well, math is the big one now. It's like that's a total white supremacist thing. Math is not an absolute anymore. It's
Because here you go. Somebody, some snappy person made a meme. If we divide 123 genders by white supremacy, how much climate change do we have?
There you go.
You could use that in your next debate there. And they'll be like, well, let me see.
Yeah. Well, actually, at Climate Depot, the data is racist. Rhode Island professor denounces science, statistics, and technology as, quote, inherently racist. This is what we're dealing with here. So this is part of what you have. And I go in the book and I quote, in Africa, there was a cyclone Idai, which hit Africa in 2019. And the quote was, this was the Black Lives Matter group, basically, in Africa, even the white man's own science corroborates what we blacks know. And this is, you know, this is how the climate debate is morphing. Just a few years ago, in my first book, Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change, I detailed how they no longer looked at polar bears or ice or temperature as how to measure global warming. The new metric was rape, vehicle thefts, crime rates, and they were saying as global warming heated up, crime would go through the roof. So that's what they're switched everything. And by the way, I point out in Green Fraud, polar bears are disappearing, and it's shocking, but they're disappearing from Al Gore's books and movies. And I talk about how Al Gore's first film made it the icon, but now they have more polar bears than they've ever counted. They're at historic population highs. So how does Al Gore deal with that? They dropped out of both his film book sequel and his movie sequel in 2017.
He doesn't talk about them anymore?
He doesn't talk about polar bears at all.
Oh.
I mean, other than the way they make, he literally omitted them in both the book and movie in his sequel after they were such an iconic part of his first one, warning of all the disappearing ice and the polar bears disappearing. It's amazing. Here's how they still get you, though, the climate actors. They'll say, it's worse than we thought for polar bears. You're like, how? Polar bears, not only have they survived much less periods of ice than you're even predicting, but their numbers are at or historic population highs. They're thriving. And the answer is that they'll say it's worse than we thought because our predictions now of the year 2080 are much worse than they were just 5 years ago. So when current reality fails to alarm, they make scarier and scarier predictions.
Yeah.
It's an old misdirection, you know.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
look here at reality. Look at this new scary prediction. We're all doomed. We need a Green New Deal.
Well, in the CNN interviews with Project Veritas, I mean, that kind of blew a hole in their deal. It's like, you know, the virus scare, we've got to morph out of that. People aren't listening anymore. I mean,
yeah, but who got to see that? I mean, Twitter and YouTube suspended it. No one got to see that video. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Hey, 99% of the people saw that.
That was a myth.
99% of the people saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, that is, on that point, very important part of Green Fraud.
Yeah.
CNN is famous for what when it comes to COVID? Having the nonstop death ticker on
yes.
the screen. And I believe the same director actually talked about they'd get phone calls, presumably from the head of CNN demanding that they put the screen back up. You know, when the content got boring on screen, they'd put the COVID death toll up on screen. Well, are you ready for this? And I unveil this in the book. COVID death tolls have inspired the climate change movement. There is now calls for adding climate change to death certificates. And I go in great detail in the book on this. If you die now, they can add cause of death, climate change. And are you ready for this? The American Cancer Society says cancer is worse because of climate change. The Department of Transportation under Obama did studies saying that fatal car accidents were going to go up because of global warming. Al Gore has claimed every organ in your body is affected by climate change. So if you die in a fatal car crash of cancer or of organ failure, guess what can be put now on your death certificate as cause of death? Guess what CNN could have a daily ticker in a climate emergency countdown to the Green New Deal, the climate change death toll. Guess what Bill Gates said? One last point. Bill Gates said the death toll from climate change will far exceed anything from COVID-19.
Well, it's very, very difficult. It's difficult to argue that, though. I mean, if you check all these people
do,
that die,
taken off the air.
That's exactly it.
But you'll notice that, and coincidence maybe, but every one of those people that died were colder. So there you go.
We're cold. That's right.
They're climate changed.
They're climate changed.
Oh, Bill. Yeah. Bill,
by
that
the way,
was
that
dark,
was
Bill.
Blizzards and snow was a thing of the past, and I detail that where the idea is, you know, snow is going to be a thing of the past. Children won't know what snow is. I got my daughter a sled. UN scientists saying this, and now there's no snow for them to play in. That was in the late 90s, early 2000s. Then we have the snowiest decade on record on the East Coast. We have blizzard after blizzard, record cold. What do they say? Al Gore comes out and says, record cold and snow is exactly what we'd expect. That's the change. That's the climate change. That's part of extreme weather. They literally predicted both outcomes. And that's what I do. When I do a presentation, I go through probably 30 or 40 different topics of prediction, whether it's hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, more floods, less floods, more tornadoes, less tornadoes, more hurricanes, less hurricanes, more malaria, less malaria, more fog, less fog, more snow, less snow. And I go through, they've literally been in 30-some years of climate predictions, or 40-some years, they've been on every side of an issue. So if you have a Super Bowl and you bet on both teams to win, the next day at Monday at work, you could be claiming, hey, I predicted it. I predicted the winner. I was
right.
I have good analytical skills. That's what they've done on this issue. And I keep adding more. Almost every issue that happens, they've predicted both sides. They can always claim the models were correct. We were accurate. When it comes to temperature models, they get like a shotgun blast of different ranges. No matter what happens, they can always go back. Our model in 1994 predicted this exact temperature trend. It is horse bleep from beginning to end. This is what we're dealing with, and I'd like to spend some time, a little bit of time, on telling you how screwed we are with Republican leadership on this issue as well. We are flailing and losing with anyone in power right now.
You know, and the hard part is when it comes to some of this stuff, it's like, because it's a third rail deal, nobody wants to bring it up. You know, it's like, let's just not, you know, the gender thing is perfect. You know, somehow we've allowed them to turn the word gender into meaning male or female. Well, it's not what it means. And if you look it up, it isn't what it means. Sex means male or female. That's what sex you are. There are only two of those. But now, you know, everybody's kind of silent on it. We don't want to really bring that up. And the climate thing is the exact same deal. They've changed that around. They did that the way they did the COVID stats, too. Remember at the beginning? It was how many people died? Then it was like, how many people got tested? Well, who cares? I mean, that's like counting how many cars are on the road and comparing that to how many drunk drivers there are. How do you know that?
Yeah, the best thing on COVID, the best summation is a guy goes to his doctor and says, hey, doctor, when is this COVID pandemic going to end? And the doctor's answer is, how should I know? I'm not a politician. Because that's exactly what it did. It comes down to how public health bureaucracy manipulated the test results, how many cycles to get a positive, and what the positive meant, and also how many cases you tested, how often you tested, where you targeted those test cases, how you reported them. And then, of course, you know, and this goes back to the whole idea of the science. Science becomes the science and becomes you can't challenge it when the solution is more important than the solution is so coveted by by the activists. And what they wanted at the time was full bureaucratic control, full lockdowns to continue. And even now with the vaccine, the reason we're having this vaccine, because it didn't go through years of trial, tested for side effects, or you can't even really call it a vaccine, it's experimental gene therapy, but the reason we're having that now is because we're still under a COVID emergency. If they de-declare or undeclare, I don't know what the right word there is, the emergency and the emergency, then you can't give it, you can't keep distributing the vaccine, because there's no, you have to change all the laws and rules and have public debate.
I didn't even think about this.
And this is, same thing happens in climate. I just went through, they changed the way you measure climate. Again, used to be temperature, then it became, let's talk about polar bears, then it became, let's talk about crime, rape, let's talk about airline turbulence, and now it's become, you know, white supremacy, and, you know, did you die of organ failure? Did you die in a car crash? Let's put that in your death certificate. It's constantly evolving.
Yeah. And the good news is, with all the COVID stuff, is we did cure the common flu. I mean, so that's
the seasonal flu? Yeah.
You think that would be the biggest eye-opener? And again, I spent two chapters in the book on the COVID-climate connection, but the idea that the flu has now just disappeared, and I love the one hand they say, well, it's because we've been all wearing masks, we've killed the flu, see, this is how we need to do it all the time. And then the same person will turn around and say, the reason that COVID is still an emergency is because people aren't wearing their masks. You're not wearing them long enough. Shame on you.
Yeah, they get it both ways.
When we were kids, you know, if you tried to argue these points, or you tried to write a paper that, you know, that was on all sides of the issue at the exact same time, you couldn't pass the class. And somehow now this is the class.
Exactly.
I don't know when that happened.
Basically, what's happened is, and I go into this, the first chapter of Green Fraud. It was a lot of fun because I talk about I had a congressional hearing, and I actually got the opportunity to go against a former United Nations climate chief. And I go in great detail, and I reprint all the last 2.5 decades of my life, I put into that testimony. And I explain that this is all about narrative building. This is not science. I turned to the guy and I said, you are not a scientist. You are a science bureaucrat. This is not something coming from science. And I go through great detail how the United Nations, when it comes to climate, and it's exactly applicable to COVID, they pick a narrative, and they don't allow studies, sciences, journals, any kind of peer review, anything to counter it. They don't. If you do counter it, I detail how they deplatform you, they defund you, they silence you, and they intimidate you. And this is exactly what's happening in the climate community for decades. And now, and then I detail how in the COVID community, we now have doctors who signed the Great Barrington Declaration against the COVID lockdowns, against COVID hysteria. They were deplatformed, defunded, intimidated, trashed, losing jobs. And the same thing happens. One of the Nobel Prize-winning chemists was invited to a scientific conference. He was disinvited because of his views on lockdowns, not because of his views on science or COVID, but because he didn't support political lockdowns recommended by the WHO and the CDC.
Wow.
This is what happens in this whole it is not anywhere near. So whenever you hear someone say, listen to the science, run like bleep hell, because that is the number one sign that they are, you know, literally not following the science.
And they're not actually going to. They have no intention of using the science. We'll be right back.
Yeah, they're just using that name of it.
Hey,
yeah.
When we come back, Mark, I know we talked about it when you were on with Debbie before, but I'd love to hear a little bit about. I know you go to all the UN conferences and stuff, and you guys have a pretty good time with that. I think people would like to see a little bit behind the curtain about what goes on with those, because they sound like not very serious scientific conferences.
Sure.
But that's
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the costumes that you all wear, because that's a high point for me. I really like that part. All right, we'll be right back. Our guest is Mark Moreto from Climate Depot. And if you have not read his book, Green Fraud, or gotten it yet, you should hurry, because Amazon's thinking about banning it because Bill Gates doesn't like it and a bunch of other people are mad. But you can find all that information here at We the People Radio.
.us.
So don't delay, act now, supplies are running out. Allow if you're still alive, 6 to 8 years to arrive. And if you follow the myth, be on tomorrow. But if the offer's shunned, you might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone. So when you go on the conferences, Mark, they all fly in and all that, right? They're not all wearing hemp and riding on camels, right?
Yeah, in fact, a couple of things about these conferences. Yeah, Debbie has joined CFAC many times over the years, all over the world. And what's happened at these, the private airplanes, the private airports fill up with private jets. That's
sure.
One of the things. There have actually been articles about chefs being flown in for the world leaders. I remember to the Johannesburg South African in South Africa, and they talked about the chefs being flown in, caviar, champagne, all the expensive food, as they celebrated to talk about world poverty and the climate emergency. They would be living it up. These UN conferences are giant parties. They are massive, environmentally destructive. There have been estimates that they use, when they have them, particularly like in African nations, they use more energy for the two-week UN climate summit than African nations can do in an entire year, or at least several, you know, half a year. That's how much energy and that they produce. And the thing is, they really don't accomplish a darn thing. All they do is, it's just basically a bunch of grandstanding. All these diplomats come in, world leaders, Hollywood celebrities. I interviewed the last one I went to in Madrid. I got to interview Harrison Ford. He was there. And, you know, it's a good case in point, Harrison Ford. He was there promoting the idea of the climate emergency and getting a UN deal and restricting, you know, our human activity. So I asked him a simple question. He had bragged a few years earlier about he's a private pilot, flies his airplane around a lot. And you know it's not a cheap plane, it's a private plane. Sure. And he said sometimes he flies up the coast just to get a hamburger. So I asked him if he still flies up the coast to get a hamburger, and his answer to me was, I'm a vegetarian now, or I'm a vegan, or whatever. He doesn't eat meat anymore. So the answer to that is, okay, so do you fly up to get your fake meat burger up the coast if you do that? But he wouldn't answer any further questions. But that's what happens. These are big conferences. All the Hollywood activists show up. Leonardo DiCaprio's been there, Al Gore. And it's just a giant thing. Now, a couple things we've done. I've dressed as Santa Claus. I've dressed up as Louis the 14th at these conferences. But also, we did the greatest achievement, I think, was I stood next to a cardboard cutout of Trump in 2016, right after he won the election, in Morocco, in Morocco at the UN Climate Summit. This was in 2017, November. And I started shredding the UN Paris Agreement, saying this is what President Trump's going to do, within minutes. I was outside the press. Other people had same kind of impromptu talks. Within minutes, security swarmed me, armed United Nations climate, seized my briefcase. They escorted me roughly outside of the conference. I was tossed out into the desert behind this makeshift conference building, had to walk through the desert in a full suit. And when I got to this parking lot, then UN armed climate cops reapproached me and confiscated my papers out of my briefcase. This is what I was dealing with, all for having having the cardboard cut out and shredding their sacred text, their holy text, the UN climate, the Paris Agreement. So that's some of the stuff. That's some of the fun that we have at these UN climate.
And I remember Debbie was dressed as a pig one time. Why was she dressed as a pig? I think that was just.
I think it was just
all the waste, the waste and fraud and abuse. But she ran around in a pig outfit the whole time. I'm like, wow, these conferences actually look fun.
And we've had people in polar bear costumes, and we've done all the time. We just go to basically to make fun of these conferences. And by the way, after I got thrown out of that, it was me and Craig Rucker, a CFAC. We had to, basically we were banned for life from the UN conference, but we had to get that reinstated. So a year later, I had to go in and sign a paper saying I'd been a bad boy and I apologized and wouldn't do anything like that again. So we could continue to have access.
Until next time. that's one thing with these guys. They have no sense of humor whatsoever. Because I've asked before.
It's deadly serious.
We had.
Don't joke around.
Leighton Stewart was on with us, I mean, a long time ago when we first started the show, probably 9 years ago. And he had said.
Featured in my first film. He's featured in my first film.
I love that guy. I got to look him up again. He was so much fun to talk to. But he had told us the thing about the CO2, and I've never forgotten it. Where he said, well, if CO2 is a pollutant, then every time, and we have 400 parts per million of CO2 in regular air, but then when we breathe into somebody doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, that's 40,000 parts per million. He goes, how come they don't all die? And I was like, oh, my gosh, you're right. I have asked that, I can't even tell you how many times, to bureaucrats who are into this kind of thing or, you know, people who think that the climate change, the CO2 is really toxic, and I ask them, you think it's a pollutant, blah, blah, blah. We go through that. To a person, every single time, they say, oh, that's different.
That's different.
CO2. I'm like, is that...
That's not the same
like
kind of CO2.
Yeah, this happened under Obama. They decided to regulate CO2 as a pollutant. So we inhale oxygen as humans. We exhale carbon dioxide, as you mentioned. So that makes us all toxic, you know, essentially polluters that need to be regulated by the government. And by the way, what does a lockdown do but regulate human activity? So it's the ideal thing. That's why I keep coming back to this theme. COVID lockdown morphs to climate lockdown. And that's literally what we are facing. And I go through the two chapters will be eye-opener. And then you get, you know, Republicans on Capitol Hill are not ready for the onslaught that's about to happen here. And it's not going to happen frontally, meaning it's not going to be big brassy hearings in Congress and legislation. This is going to happen behind the scenes. If Chuck Schumer gets his way and we declare a national climate emergency, which I think Biden's holding off on for the moment, but we are looking at every aspect from cars to home energy to appliances to our diets. I detail how the whole movement is to get us off eating meat, to skyrocket the cost of meat. They're bragging about that. They want us to eat fake synthetic meat made of like 27 different vegetable oils and processed chemicals. And even CNN nutritionists are saying these fake meat burgers aren't even close to being healthy. You're much better off eating a lean beef or turkey burger or something like that. And they want us to eat insects, too. I go into great detail on that. But on every aspect of this, they were inspired and jealous of the climate lockdown, of the COVID lockdowns. And this is what they want, stay at home, low emissions. At these UN summits we talked about, they would brag about planning for decades. And in the first book, I detailed all my encounters about planned recessions for global warming, the degrowth movement. Well, what is a lockdown but a planned recession by the government? Mm-hmm. So this is part of how the lockdowns were praised so much, they reduced CO2 emissions 7% in 2020, right? Global emissions are from all industry because everything was shut down from transportation, airlines, industry. So what happened? They now, UK Guardian peer-reviewed studies now are out. They're saying if we could have a lockdown every 2 years, we could meet our UN climate goals. Isn't that wonderful? All we need to do is lock down every other year, and we can have our climate goals met.
We're almost there. We're facing. Yeah, yeah.
And we have morons like Senator Lindsey Graham just this week in Washington. I believe climate is real. The weather is changing, and humans are responsible, and you're not going to call me a denier. This is what we're facing on Capitol Hill. The Republicans are terrified to challenge this narrative.
Hmm. I know one that in a our congressman here in a debate is down in Chico by the university, so you can tell how well this went over. They asked him, do you believe in climate change? And he said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. I believe it changes about four times a year, and I believe what we're going into now is something we call autumn. And there was a guy sitting by me in the back, and he like screams out, he's unfit to lead.
Boy, that's the most fit. That's awesome. That's a great way to handle it. Because, I go through, someone says, is the globe warming? Are you a denier? Okay.
Yes.
Well, since 1850, when thermometers came on, we were in the height of the Little Ice Age when New York Harbor froze over, the Thames River in England. We were a very cold period. So, yes, we've warmed the last 150 years. Then you say, okay, well, what about the medieval warm period ended in 1300? We probably stayed the same or slightly cooled since the medieval warm period. If you go back to the Roman warming period of 0 AD, we probably cooled most definitely based on all the peer-reviewed studies. I mean, this is what it is. You have to look at time. So as you go back further in the geologic history, we're in 10% coldest part of Earth's history. In other words, 90% of Earth's history was too warm to have ice at either pole. And we're also in one of the lowest periods of CO2 levels in Earth's history. One scientist, Will Happer, calls it a CO2 famine that we're currently in. So this is,
the Industrial Revolution theory in the head, doesn't
it? Well, besides that, you know, they've said that the planet has greened. Well, I learned in sixth grade or maybe sooner that, you know, CO2 makes plants grow. So why is that a bad thing?
I detail that in the book. Even NASA was forced to admit studies since at least the last 40 years, 35 years, the greening of the planet Earth, which they're attributing to rising CO2 levels. It's a boon for the atmosphere, boon for the biosphere. Now, how do you negatively spin that? Here's how. This is acknowledged in the mainstream media and different studies from academia. Global warming will mean more weeds! Invasive species and weeds are going to grow as CO2 rises. In other words, all agriculture and our biosphere is going to benefit. But what does the media focus on when a study like this comes out? That weeds are going to be more healthy and taking over everything.
That is a desperate,
Look for that dark lining.
Oh my God. Well, and up here, what we see is, they want to talk about the drought, but like I said at the beginning, how do you take 333,000 acre feet, give the farmers 2 acre feet, blow the rest of it down the river for the fish, supposedly, except it actually makes the fish die, and call that a drought?
Yeah.
But if none of the farmers can farm, guess where all our money goes? you know, to keep their land payments going and all that. Oh, and meanwhile, at the same time up there, the Bureau of Reclamation has 60 employees. Almost passed out when I heard that. I thought they had like five. I've only ever seen five. There are 60 employees there. And this year, while the farmers get zero water and still have to make their payments to the Bureau, they are...
They're
going to build a new building.
This is what you're describing is exactly what we're dealing with this whole green, the whole title of my book and the whole book. It's because it's turning over your life to insane, illogical government bureaucracy, which you have no control over.
Yep.
And even politicians have no control over once this gets started. I mean, this is what we're dealing with on every aspect. So it's going to be whether how much meat you bought this week, how many miles you traveled. They're already talking about tracking that, whether you can fly in it. But you can't go to Florida. You just went last year. Unless it's for a funeral, we can't authorize it. You've already used your, I talk about your carbon credits. Your carbon share. There's a proposal in Europe for a CO2 credit for every man, woman, and child on the planet, a CO2 ration card that monitors your energy use, home energy use, travel. And the idea is it's like a Chinese social credit score, which is also coming. The idea is if you're a good citizen and you keep within your carbon footprint and you don't say anything against wokeism and you're not a climate denier, you get a high credit score and you follow all the health mandates and you socially distance and you don't have backyard barbecues or you haven't attended a funeral with too many people or been to a wedding, then you're going to get a high score. You're going to be front of the line. You're going to get, you're going to get your universal basic income check quicker than the next guy. This is what's happening, and that's the other thing, is the universal basic income. They've collapsed the economy. This is what they love. This is what they've been seeking, and now they get to rebuild it, part of the Great Reset, this great, they're going to rebuild it in their green image, and that's what we're facing right now. And again, clueless Republicans aren't going to save us. This has to come from the public. In the book, I detail how the Berlin Wall didn't come down because the East German Parliament decided to end tyranny. It came down because the people of East Germany no longer gave their consent to live under tyranny. And that's what's got to happen in the United States. And it's not going to be Republicans on Capitol Hill that save us. We have to defy mass resistance, starting with the COVID mandates and then moving over to the climate mandates. We have to fight back on this at every level of government.
Everything about this is that same smoke and mirror thing, you know, and you've got kids pushing all of it. That's the part that pisses me off. Like, you know what Katie was telling us yesterday in England? Her kids, she said, you know, just of their own volition, they decided not to get the, mandated experimental injection there. And they have to wear a sticker on their shirt at school that says, I don't care about my classmates.
Wow, what's that sound like?
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, this is from China's Communist Party. This is exactly, and the whole world is adopting this. Even countries like Israel, who you'd think should know better, are adopting this same kind of sort of vaccine passport and shaming system. Mm.
It's stunning, absolutely stunning. I don't know how much longer people will go for this, but she said the people in England have just complied. You know, they stay in their little 7-mile circle. They don't go anywhere. Like, you have to get, can you imagine that, special permission to leave your country to actually go somewhere?
Well, it's coming here.
Yeah.
In Spain, they're going to mandate masks at all the outdoor beaches this summer. They've already announced it. Their public health is their number one priority. So imagine that. You go to the beach, you have to wear a mask outside.
Man,
even here, I'm in Virginia.
That's going to screw up the tan.
Boy Scouts. Yeah, exactly. But even here in Virginia, we have friends. I was talking to a friend yesterday who pulled his son out of Boy Scouts because they mandated some vote, a secret vote of the Boy Scout Council, that you had to have masks outside when they went on hikes and did everything for safety. And the parents demanded to know what the vote was, who voted, and they wouldn't tell them.
Oh, that's a shocker. Hey, Mark, we ran out of time. Can you believe it? Mark Morano, we want to have you on again. His book is Green Fraud, Police Litter on Earth Day. Do it for... just suggesting for a friend.
Yeah, for a friend,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.